Good evening, Posh fans. Welcome back to another Up the Poshcast. We're coming to you after the 2-1 loss in the League Cup away at Accrington Stanley. Who are they? Well, I'll tell you who they are. They're a team in the second round of the League Cup and we aren't. I was joined tonight by John and Charlie. I'm Harry. A few things to discuss. We discussed the game. We discussed Fergie's interview, which came out while we were recording. And there was a pretty interesting debate towards the end on the short-term future of Fergie, with a pretty diverse view from the hosts on what that's going to look like. Few notices. I just want to say thank you to our partners for this episode, Smith's Group Hyundai. They have a state-of-the-art showroom down on Breton Way. Make sure you go down there if you're thinking of getting a new or used vehicle. Open 7 days a week. Even if you just want to go down and have a chat with them and have a cup of coffee, you should absolutely do it. We had some excellent donations this week. Thank you so much to Matthew Lord and Stephen Bates. You don't know how far it goes to helping keep the pod running. It has significant cost to us and the donations were extremely generous. We really, really appreciate it and recognise you both. Thank you. Finally, as well, our predictions league continues. We had another round tonight. Be interested to see if anyone successfully predicted a 2-1 loss with Archie Collins to score first. Even if you've missed the first three times for the Next Level Barbell Club Predictions League, we have monthly prizes with it. And to be honest, 3 games into the season, there's still a chance you could win the grand prize of £250 cash at the end of the year. So make sure you sign up on uptheposhcast.com. Simply put in your email and your name, get your score in, and your first posh goal scorer, hit submit. It's as easy as that. And with that, enjoy the episode. Accrington Stanley 2, Peterborough United 1. John, the floor is yours.
I mean, the tonality of your voice, Harry, kind of sums it up. Before we started this, the lads were like, well, you're going to be ranting. But actually, I don't really feel like ranting. I said it last week, I am tired. I am bored of watching this Peterborough team. It's not so much anger now, because, well, I am angry that we're in this situation, but how can I get angry at these players for being shit? Because they are shit. Like, it's like me going to some C-level math student, sticking him in Mensa and saying, well, why aren't you competing with these people? They can't do it. They're not physically capable of doing it. So when Fergie's on the sideline shouting, quicker! They can't play quicker because they are not good enough footballers. They are not good enough footballers to win games at League One level. We saw it last season. They are not good enough footballers to beat Accrington Stanley reserves. At this point, they should be embarrassed. Most of them should be walking into the club and saying, oh, here's my transfer request because I am not fit to wear this shirt. This was a good football club. This was a club pushing for League One promotions before I was here. So there's something wrong with me. So I'll stand on my sword here. I'm embarrassing this football club and I'm ready to go because I'm not good enough. I wish half of them would do that. I wish the club would be more ruthless. But look, I said I wouldn't rant. I am now ranting because I am annoyed and it does hurt. And we've just lost to fucking Accrington Stanley. And I don't even think we've hit rock bottom. We're 3 games into the season. This is going to be the worst season that I've ever watched at Peterborough United. And it's been terrible for however many months now, pretty much. Is it longer than 12 months? I've lost count. It's been rubbish to watch. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. I feel terribly sorry for the 4 members of this podcast who went all the way up for Accrington tonight to watch that. They're being let down. They've been let down by the club. And yeah, I am tired of it, boys.
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I mean, I predicted a 5-1 loss and people will think that was bait and for clips. I meant every word. I was pleasantly surprised by the result tonight, actually, because that was abysmal and just what I expected it to be. John mentioned last season that there's a Venn diagram of shit and we are going to need a much bigger diagram because all of the players fit into that middle section of not caring and not being good enough. There is not a single player in that squad tonight that walks away with a shred of credibility. They are all just, other than maybe Kean Hayes, I'll give it to Kean Hayes, he came on and did well. Other than him, they are all just bad and unbothered. And we are just slow dancing into relegation this season. I do not understand how anybody can look at that squad, whether it be Darren McAntony, whether it be Darren Ferguson, and think anything more than we have put together an absolute shambles of a squad here. There is not a single player that I looked to in that game, other than maybe Archie Collins, who actually did it quite well in terms of getting the goal, and thought, yeah, they're going to pull us out here. You know, when Adoh came on at halftime, we're 2-0 down. I didn't think, you know, they're going to get us through here. You know, there were times in the past where in these cup games when we weren't doing very well, we could bring on a Johnson Clark Harris who maybe hadn't started the game and who we'd rotated out, or Ephraim Mason Clark hadn't started, and we bring him on and we go, yeah, you know what, I think we'll be all right here. But we just do not have that level of player. And I don't care whether we've got injuries or not, because Sam Hughes wouldn't have got us out of that mess tonight. Alex Bass wouldn't have got us out of that mess. You know, Declan Frith, we haven't really seen a lot from him. I know we've got injuries, but also our second string side should be good enough to beat a bottom end League Two team. If you're a top League One side, your squad options are good enough because they should all be either at League Two teams or in your squad as a rotation option. I am fuming. I think this is one of the most sort of disappointed and just dejected I felt after a Posh game in a long time, because we're three games into this season and I've already lost all hope. I mean, at least until last year, I had sort of until the start of the Christmas period, I was feeling decent that like we could have a good second half of the season. But I'm already feeling completely bleak and dejected and with three games in.
Okay, I agree that it was an absolute shambles and we are not good enough top to bottom. I don't agree with everything you said, Charlie. I think the idea that nobody tried at all tonight is unfair. Completely unfair, actually, on some of the players. Some of them just really, really lack the quality required. But I don't think there was a lack of effort from Keller. I don't think there was a lack of effort from Lolos. Clearly, there wasn't from Hayes. I actually gave him a pretty high score, and I'd be amazed if anyone thinks that Hayes didn't play well tonight. I think for some of them as well, it's a case of being barked at with so many instructions that they were a little bit overwhelmed by the situation, because that barking came out when they were 2-0 down, and they're trying to simultaneously manage a game in which Accrington came here to just stifle us and did extremely well, like really, really well. And we should give them credit for what we probably know as Stevenage style football, Steve Evans style Stevenage football. And the players are trying to manage dealing with that while also having Fergie in their ear screaming at basically every touch, go quicker, go faster, pass it forward. I think it was at times gutless from several. We'll get into individual players, but the idea that they weren't trying, I think, is not really my concern. It's that John's diagnosis is probably closer, that a lot of them just aren't good enough to get past a lower level League Two side. And what that says for our League One season, well, me and John already predicted it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess not trying probably isn't the right way to say it. I think what I more mean is these players look like, I've not seen any of them at the end of any of these games yet this season look completely gutted. And I think that's the thing, is they look happy to try and they're trying in games, but they look like they don't massively care about the outcome. You know, that if anything, the urgency that we had sort of in like the 60th minute came from the players getting scared of getting a bollocking. I don't think it came from a place of them really wanting to win that game and really having a grit and desire. And I guess it's just a bit of cope from me, because if that is the players trying at their best, then we are in serious trouble. I think it's a much better look for the football club to sort of say, yeah, we were playing away at League Two opposition at Accrington on a Tuesday night and the players weren't quite up for it, but they'll be up for it for the league on Saturday. I'd much rather that be the diagnosis than, yeah, they tried their best. Yeah, that was the best they could muster. Because if that is the best they can muster, jeezy peeps, man.
Well, should we start naming some individuals then, boys? We might as well start at the back. We've got a new goalkeeper in. He looks good, doesn't he? Really, really good. Took him 45 seconds before his first calamity. So, yeah, brilliant. Bilal out. And now we've got the is it Chilean, Spanish? Something like that. The continental Bilal Kapic is now in goal for us. So that's good. Pretty disastrous debut. Exactly what Cambridge fans said. Can't save a shot. So, yeah, that's encouraging. We might as well write off any points we're going to get for another 6 weeks because all our goalkeepers are terrible until Bass gets back. So that injury is a nightmare. Another good bit of recruitment there. And then you move into the defence. I actually thought Valin did okay. Didn't think he was too bad. I don't think he was great, but he was fine for Oscar Valin, I guess. Akagbu was pretty worrying. Looked like a League Two player, I thought, when I saw him getting skinned by a Accrington youth player, kind of concerning, I guess. Not exactly the most promising thing. His header as well from the throw for the first goal went the wrong direction. Still looks a bit of a donkey for me as well. So when you're trying to build from the back, by the way, had a look into this. Our two centre-backs touched the ball 200 times in the match today. 200 times they had the ball. You're trying to build up with a Akagbu who can't pass and Valin who I would say is fairly average at passing, decent at dribbling forward, but not the best passer of a football. And then Dornelli, I thought he was abject. I'm not a big fan of Carl Johnston, but Carl Johnston's not started the season too badly and he hasn't got anything to fear after that performance. And Mills he wasn't great either, but I guess he was slightly better than Dornelli. Not that that's saying much. So, yeah, that's the defence done. Not much positives there. Anyone want to comment on that or move forward throughout the team?
Yeah, let me give a bit of constructive. I completely agree on the centre-backs. Let me be a bit constructive on the full-backs. I'll start talking about on the midfield a little bit. With Dornelli, I do actually think there was some decent attacking endeavour there. He got down the side multiple times, especially in the second half. He shouldn't have taken that shot that Fergie absolutely laid into him for. And there was a overlapping option, even if that option was Otto, available to him. In that moment, when you're 2-0 down, you cannot be trying to smash it from 25-plus yards. So it's just a bit of knowledge and understanding of how to do the right thing in a moment there. But he got one where when he pulled it back, this is also second half, I forget exactly when, but he got basically to the byline and passed it backwards to essentially where the penalty spot was. And Donne was way too far away. He was basically on the edge of the penalty box. He should have been another 5 yards forward. Again, I think Fergie got in Donne's ear for that. It could have been an assist if Donne's positioning was right. And Dornelli did the right thing there going forward. For Mills, yeah, it was mixed. All of Mills' three performances this season so far have been mixed. There is definitely potential there. And there's things that he really needs to sharpen up on. If I was going to give one specific thing that I'd like to think he will learn from, in the first half, there was a ball that got sprayed over the top to him and he was on the left wing and he went to chest it and the ball just went past his chest. That was nothing but body mechanics. I think he will learn immediately from that his head was already telling him to go down the wing. So his body was facing the wing, not facing the ball. Had to turn his back to the sideline, be facing the ball and take the touch first. And sometimes you just learn these things through experience. And it's moments like that where at least you do it in a League Cup game rather than in a league game. And as I say, hopefully you can learn from little moments like that because there is definitely potential there with him. I won't do the whole midfield. I'll leave some to Charlie. I will mention Collins, I think. Collins has obviously had a moment here. And we praise Poku for being a moments player last season, where he's managed to charge into the box, head it beautifully, and give us a chance in a moment. Sorry, give us a chance in a game where we only had very few moments. God, I wish he'd just done that a bit more. This season, tonight, I wish we just saw a Collins that was more willing to either pass forward or progressively or get himself in the box. He has been so shy. He has been, in my opinion, fearful at times this season. And indeed tonight, there were, outside of that headed moment, there were a couple of times in the second half where he needed to attempt progressive passes and he turned and passed it back to Mills. I'd have rather he'd have messed up the pass, attempting to drive it forward than recycling in a game in which Accrington were always going to sit in And it's so difficult to get chances when you build up slowly, which is why Fergie was shouting quicker the entire time. Archie should learn from the fact that if he takes that moment to actually charges forward, look what happens. He gets us a goal straight away. Count on one hand, I think, how many he's got for us in the last 12 months. I'd love to see him get another few more, especially if he stays for one more season.
Yeah, I have to say, I felt like the midfield was horrifically disorganised tonight. We had four midfielders. We had Lolos, we had Collins, we had Keller, we had Donne, and all of them were like just running around like headless chickens. It was like a box four. It was like a weird like shuffle where they were all rotating round in a square, like holding hands. It was a bizarre thing to watch, and I don't think it worked at all. There didn't seem to be much structure to it. I don't think any of them really understood it, which resulted in all of them becoming really frustrated, especially Lolos. I think I'll talk about Lolos quickly. It was his debut today. I have to say I wasn't impressed. I don't think, obviously, he's at full fitness. I think that was very clear to see. I didn't like that moment where he lost his head and then went over and got a stupid booking by absolutely smashing someone late on the wing. I thought that was ridiculous and just pure petulance. And I'm sure that there'll be some people that will praise him for that, for showing a bit of passion. Nah, not for me. Grow up. And then I just thought it was Donne O'Brien Brady, man. I just can't get on board with it. I don't know what the club are trying to peddle with him as the next big thing. I hate when you ask about, you know, you ask in an interview, Fergie or online, Dara, you know, about getting a midfielder, and they talk about Donne O'Brien Brady coming to the party. You know, he's NFI from the party. He's not even involved. He has been awful this season. He had a better game on Saturday. I thought he'd turned a corner, but then I think just tonight exposed exactly what he is. He's not a player for this level. He may be one day, but he needs a loan, at least two or three loans to like the National League North, before he'll even look like a decent footballer. We are so, so short in that midfield now. And if Collins goes, I'm seriously, seriously worried, because we have been dominated in the middle of the pitch now by Cardiff, by Luton, and by worse, Accrington Stanley. Let that sink in. And they didn't even have their best midfielder in Ben Woods, who we're supposedly going to sign. Class.
I'm not going to be over the top with my defensive Donne here, but I still think there is something there. And I think that there's, in fact, you know what, I'm not even going to bother to go into it. People who can see that there is something there in terms of passing, and as in the progressive passes and his pressing, if you can see it, great. And if you can't, I'm not going to convince you. But I'm going to give a constructive point here. Two contrasting moments from him of leadership and petulance. Leadership, trying to stop Kyrell getting booked because Kyrell was incensed by the referee not giving a foul for him. Kyrell screamed at the ref and Donne tried to shove him away. Don't get yourself booked. That was leadership and it was good to see. Lisby got booked regardless, unfortunately. And then a moment of petulance not long after that where Darren had shouted to tackle. And what does Donne do? He goes in and swipes out their man on the sideline right in front of Fergie and then immediately barks at Fergie, tackle, tackle, you said tackle. Which, of course, Fergie said, was that a tackle? Because, of course, it wasn't. It was just a foul. I really was surprised to see that from him. For goodness sake, do not lose your head. Your manager wants you to succeed and the team to succeed. It sucks to be shouted at, but you've just got to recognise sometimes that if he's telling you you need to put your body in more in a game like this when Accrington are sitting in, it's because he's got 20 years of experience of managing, knowing how to break down a team like that. Let me move on to the wingers. Interesting night. Lisby is all over the shop in terms of body mechanics, and I'm concerned that he wasn't able to get a lot of purchase out of a League Two right back tonight. Although there were moments when at least he was able to break through to a certain extent. But goodness me, he's got to up his levels and recognise that this is the beginning of a journey for him. Mason Clark did not hit the floor when he came here. Hit the ground running when he came here. And it took him probably 10 games to get up to pace. Lisby doesn't look like he's where EMC was three games in. But look, if Lisby can improve over the next 10 games, we may have a serviceable winger there. Odo was dreadful. Just, again, I feel like a broken record talking about it, but what can I say about tonight? Every dribble ended up going out, or sorry, either being tackled or going out for a throw-in. The pass to try and put through one of the strikers was overhit and went straight to their keeper. The playmaking is not there. The individual moments aren't there. There's so little there, unfortunately. And then on the other side, you've got Hayes, who was utterly electric and fantastic cross for the goal. Did put everything on the line, put his body in. I think he's still nursing that left knee, to be honest. I saw when he was warming up, he was touching it. He jarred it against Luton. So even if he's playing with a knock, isn't stopping him. Fantastic. Seriously. Just he is clearly a League One level winger. At least we can say we've got Collins and we've got Hayes, in my opinion, who are League One level, even if Hayes needs to work on his end production outside of games like this. So yeah, there's one positive.
I agree with you, Harry. Hayes definitely was a positive. I thought he always adds impetus when he comes off the bench. I'm a little bit fearful that a lot of the times his better impact seemed to come when he comes off the bench than when he starts. However, at least he can dribble, which is a lot more than you can say for most of the other members of this squad. One thing I would say as well is, we've been very harsh with Chris Conn-Clarke, and I'm not against it. Look, I called for ruthlessness, but we have been quite harsh with him. But the likes of O'Brien Brady, the likes of, obviously, De Havilland looks like he's going now, but the likes of Gustav Lindgren even, how long are we going to give them until we give them the same treatment as Conn-Clarke? It feels like Conn-Clarke's been bombed out and everyone else has got loads of time to do it in their second season. By the way, I mentioned him there. Gustav Lindgren should not be playing professional football in England. He is not good enough to play professional football in England. When he played his first game against Walsall, remember him scoring two goals against Walsall? And we all thought, this guy looks all right, didn't he? I said, oh, he reminds me of Dwight Gayle after that. I thought his movement was really good. And I said, he reminds me of Dwight Gayle. The striker he now reminds me of is Joe Gormley, or Joe Gormless, as he was affectionately nicknamed after about five games. He can't even lay the ball off. He can't complete a two-yard pass. He can't hold the ball up because he gets bullied. I think it was three times tonight. He fell on the floor screaming at the ref like a little boy. Man up, man. You're in England. It's physical. Get your body in the way. I'm so tired of him. And if I hear one more person say, well, his runs are good. If Joel Randle was in the team, he'll look good. That he could play with Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo and Neymar behind him. He would not look good because he's a terrible player. And Dara said that we've rejected £1 million for Lindgren. I will happily pay for his flight back to Sweden. I'll put him on Ryanair. He can sit in second class and think about what he's done. He will never be good enough for Peterborough United. There is not a chance in hell. End the experiment now before we get to the end of August. Bring in a new striker. I am begging you, because this guy is woeful.
My rants are never going to be as impassioned as John's. And I like to be more constructive. I think we've already heard this episode. With Lindgren, unfortunately, the diagnosis is the same from me. His decision-making is quite literally not at a professional level. So the passes that he thinks he can get away with the touch that he has, are getting intercepted every time. There was one in the first half where he had it on the edge of the box and he had someone just in front of him. I think it might have been Lolos. But the pass was so obviously your first read that the Accrington player, who is, you know, no Carlos Puyol, immediately read it and just intercepted it. So Lindgren, honestly, if he's going to work on one thing more than anything else, he needs to work on close control drills in training just consistently. I don't think he should be out on the pitch again for a while, if we can avoid it. And he needs to work on just a professional level of pace, of decision-making and getting it out of his feet quicker. Another thing is just when he's got someone at his back, he lacks the ability still now to hold up the ball in any way under any pressure. Now, to be honest, Ricky J. Jones was deficient in that area as well, and he managed to find other ways of working on his game. Lindgren's just got to adapt so much, because I agree, there's so many parts both in the technicals and in the decision-making that, as John said, are literally not professional level right now. You just have to recognize it and work with it and deal with it, because you're not going to get any purchasing gains like this or in League One, except for, as we've seen, one chance per game where your run works and you end up shooting on your weaker side and getting a corner. It's nice, but it's not enough. It just is not enough for a striker at Peterborough United.
Can I just come back in quickly? Because I think it's easy to forget, and look, I've hammered him tonight, and I don't particularly like hammering players on the podcast. I know it might not seem that way, but he is genuinely, he's terrible. He's not a good footballer. But actually as well, who commissioned paying half? We're struggling for money, right? We're not a rich team anymore. We spent £500,000 on him. Like, who did that scouting? I would love someone to come out and say, this is what I saw in Gustav Lindgren. Did we research Sweden properly? Because I don't see how we can claim that we did. I can't see that we went and really...
He's a good finisher. That's why. With enough space, we saw it against Peterborough Sports. With enough space, he's a good finisher. That's why.
Right. Maybe he is a good finisher. I still think that's to be pretty debatable given what we saw at Bristol Rovers away as well. I don't know that he's even proven that. But what I would say is, did we do our research on that league properly? I think the answer has to be no, given that Valin isn't great either. Whatever we say, he's probably better standing than Lindgren, but I still don't think he's great. So why have we gone and spent 700,000 there? And he might look a good finisher in Sweden, but surely there was someone watching 90 minutes of football, and he can't have looked, his link play can't have looked great. It can't have looked like he was holding off centre-backs, because he can't do it. So who has watched that and thought, yeah, this guy looks like he's got everything needed to step into English football? There must have been some deficiencies seen had we have done our scouting properly. For me, it really reflects badly that we've signed a player of that quality for that much money. And there should be serious questions asked over that bit of recruitment, in my opinion.
While we've been recording, Darren Ferguson's interview from this Accrington Stanley game has just dropped. We've taken a moment as the three hosts to go watch it. It's about 4.5 minutes long. The big takeaway for me, I think Fergie's diagnosing correctly, and he's rightly pointing out that the basics aren't being met. We've given ourselves a mountain to climb by conceding two goals, so poor goals early on in the game, and allowing them to sit in. And it does sound like some of the players are really struggling to keep to his ideas tactically, whether it's getting into the midfielders, getting into the box, or fullbacks in a diamond failing to get crosses in. I think there's an element of it being unfair to an extent with the crosses. I mean, we had something like 9 crosses in the first half. It's just only one of them was successful. But yeah, Fergie knows what he wants. He's a tactically aware manager. But even he recognises that his idea is not coming across right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway was, again, Fergie saying that didn't look like a Peterborough United side. Sadly, it did look like a Peterborough United side. I've heard him say that did not look like a team of mine so many times since probably October. I'd love someone to go back through all his interviews and... if anyone could be bothered to do this and count how many times he said that after a performance, because I reckon it will be over 5 is where I've got that. I've heard that line so many times, but now it does look like a Peterborough side. He also said that the players might be confused about where they are. Well, they're not the only ones confused about the plan now, because when I'm watching it, I'm starting to get confused about the plan. I said earlier that our centre-backs had 200 touches. Our striker had 21 tonight. I know we've talked about Lindgren's performance, but regardless of who that is, the two centre halves shouldn't have 10 times the touches of your centre forward when you're playing a League Two side away from home. It's got to the point now where I think we're at a stage that Fergie clearly wants to play possession-based football. That's what he's always coached. He wants to build through the thirds. He wants to play like we've got Knight and Edwards at the back and all that quality. When it was great, but these players aren't good enough to do it. And I do think we're at a stage now where if he wants to be our manager, he needs to change styles, because there's no way that this demanding player is... We're just basically, all we're doing is knocking it around the back line. And I'm bored of watching our centre-backs just pass the ball between themselves, cycle it out to a full-back, put it into Collins, go back to a centre back. We're not creating anything from open play. I think at the point, we're at a point now where we've got to really maybe dumb it down a little bit, and in a, for want of a better term, and just simplify everything for the players. They're never going to make it as like extremely high level technical League One players, which is basically what this system demands, because you're asking players to move the ball quickly, pick apart teams with finesse. I think we're going to have to go to a way more basic style of football. Now, whether Fergie wants to coach that is another point, because he's never really coached it before in his career. And I don't know if, as an experienced manager, he's up for that. He doesn't enjoy it, so why would he be? But it's hard to say after three games, but it doesn't feel like only three games, if that makes sense, because it feels like we've been watching this for a lot longer than that because of last season and because a lot of the squad were here last season. And I think we've seen enough now to know that this isn't really the way forward. And I do think it's time to rethink tactically. And if that means playing a few more balls long into the channels and going and play in the final third and trying to box people in and use Keller's legs and use Donny's, you know, 7 pound of muscle and pen teams in and play from the front rather than trying to play from the back, I think the time's probably come for it now.
It is funny you say that, John. I don't think Fergie will adapt. I think he is a principles first manager. He knows what he can get success out of. He's got 5 promotions on his CV. And I think the odds of him going to a Steve Evans style Stevenage ball are pretty low. But look, very briefly, I want to quickly say it worked for Accrington tonight. I looked at the stats. They had 131 accurate passes tonight to our 475. Of those 131 passes, 120 of them were forward. Direct forward passing, almost every pass forward. Compare that to us. Of our 475, only 166 were forward. Tells you a lot.
Yeah, I think I will never be sort of a forwards merchant. I refuse to sit in the family stand and, you know, scream that in the 20th minute against Bolton Wanderers at home. I refuse to be that person. But yeah, we do need to find a way to be a bit more cutting in the way that we pass. And I think, you know, Fergie, literally, I would love a quicker counter on him tonight, because that was all he was screaming from the sideline, was quicker, quicker, just the entire game. And I think he's right, because our style of football only works when we can move the ball quickly, we can manipulate teams, and we are a team that basically we manipulate players, we move the ball quickly, we drag someone in out of position, that gives us space in behind for our wingers. That's the basic, very, very basic principle of how we play. We cut through the lines because of quick passing, and if we're just going to sort of amble around and just knock it from player to player, that's never going to work. I think the concerning line that's come out of the match for me was a quote from Fergie to BBC Radio Cambridgeshire, that the performance tonight was nothing to do with formations, all on the players, and that the chairman and him have a big job to do about what they're going to do next. And I think that's really concerning to me, because, well, first of all, it shows that he has very little faith in this squad. Let's be honest. He's told us all to keep the faith and it's only 2 league games. Well, why should we keep the faith when it seems like he has very little belief in this squad to succeed? Second of all, are we going to see that backing from Darren McAntony? Are we going to see that? Is he going to now put the checkbook out and go, yeah, you know what, we've lost 2-1 to Accrington. And although I said that we've recruited really well and, you know, we've got the next Jack Taylor and we think, you know, we've sorted out our issues at centre-back and we've got the best goalkeeper in the league and all these things. Although I did say that and I've come out and said that, you know what, no, you're right, I'm going to make 5 new signings and they're all going to be top-end League One players. Is that going to happen? Are they going to end up at an impasse where something's got to give between Ferguson and McAntony, and Dara's going to say, well, you either make this group of players work or go, and Fergie's going to go, probably, all right, I'll go then. This is a really dangerous situation now, to be this early on in the season and for quotes like that to be coming out about transfers, and, you know, it's all been about improving what we have in the building until tonight, And when the going got tough, Fergie has come out and basically revealed his hand. What we all thought he thought, but he'd managed to defend himself. But tonight he's obviously lost his head and he's made it very clear that he doesn't have faith in what we have in the building. And that is the most damning thing to come out of tonight. It is an absolute indictment on the shambles of that this football club has become over the last 12 months in terms of recruitment. It shows that we do not have the quality of player in the building. And that is my greatest concern right now, is that we simply, nobody in the club, it feels like, other than maybe Dara, has any sort of opinion that this team is going to be a top-end League One team, despite what we've been told.
Yeah, I would just like to remind everyone of our predictions episode, which can be listened to on our YouTube channel. And my crazy prediction at the time was that there is a chance that Ferguson wouldn't be our manager by September. Not sure that I saw the start of the season being quite this bad, or the fact that we're now doubting that Fergie might be our manager by the 12th of August. But the crazy before that prediction, I actually probably isn't that crazy anymore. I think there is a real chance that he goes. I don't know. Obviously, there might be. He might mean. What else can he mean? But he's got to sort this squad out. Otherwise, I walk. I don't know any other way to read that. What other discussions can they possibly be having? Clearly, surely that is an indication, and the first indication maybe that Fergie isn't happy with the transfer business. And we've heard Dara before multiple times say that he does not like it when managers speak out about transfer policy in public. He's famously against that. So we're a pretty tumultuous situation now, I think, and we're reaching a tipping point here. And look, I think the smart money might well be that Fergie goes. I don't want that to happen. And maybe in the cold light of day, he'll take that back. We know Fergie can be quite emotional. It wouldn't be the first time that he's taken something back that he said. But we're in worrying times. There's no doubt about it.
You two, honestly, John calling Fergie emotional. And we're here after, yeah, a bad start to the season, but talking about Fergie walking in the next couple of weeks. I think, hey, look, we'll be trapped on the internet forever with what we say here. But come the 12th of September, I strongly suspect me saying right now that Fergie is still here, I'm not getting clipped up. You're the one going to get clipped up, John. Come on.
Can I ask, Harry, what do you think? Because I can't read it any other way at the minute, but what do you think he means by that line? If you're ultra confident that he's saying, what discussion do you think he's having with the chairman tonight or tomorrow, whenever it may be?
About the remaining signees to get in and whether they give up on their first choice options, ones that are reported in the media as being Archer, Kirk and Woods, and move on to the next ones, because they probably think that they're literally four or five players away from achieving their aims. So it's just going to be a case of opening up the pool, I think, maybe relying on Rooster to find somebody in the loan market from the Championship or something like that. I think this is completely a putting the players on notice that just because you have a high shirt number right now does not mean you will be anywhere near the pitch if you maintain standards like this, because we will absolutely bring in players to come in ahead of you. I think that's what the meaning of it is.
Listen, Harry, I hope you're right. I really do. You're not usually right, though, so I'm quite concerned. It's Birmingham to finish seventh. But I think, listen, I think Fergie, I'm more on the John side of this. I think Fergie's getting fed up. I don't think it's a warning to the players. I mean, some of it will be, you know, saying that they're a good team against mannequins is a pretty direct shot at the group of players. But I think that particular comment is very much about the transfer business and very much about the level of players that we've brought in, and also about the level of trust that we've put in players that have shown very little in a Peterborough United shirt so far. So I am concerned by that comment. Obviously, we haven't had the full interview, so we can't hear the full context. But if Ben Jones is reporting that that's what he said and that's the way he said it, then yeah, I'm really quite nervous going into the rest of the season. And I also think, just on a final point, this is so negative for August. I mean, quotes like that coming out of the club on the third game of the season is horrific, isn't it? That's like This is like when they when it gets really trenches. This is like a Lincoln away interview, you know, the 5-1 loss, or the Mansfield home interview in that fourth game season. And we've got it in August. It's the 12th of August and we've got that interview already. It's like, how bad are they going to get? Like, it's going to turn into full diss tracks by the end of the month. I am absolutely just bricking it for Saturday. I think if we lose, it could be about as negative as it's ever been. And yeah, I'm not ready for it. So let's hope that this squad somehow pull their finger out and perform on Saturday.
We can hope. And for all the information that you need about Wigan away, which is our Saturday game, please do tune in to our 8 p.m. live show on Friday. Countdown to kickoff. We will have the Wigan podcast Progress with Unity on with us. It'll be a great listen. And let me tell you, I've already spoken to Barry from the Wigan podcast, and they have a certain crisis of their own. Do tune in on Friday for that. I think we're there for tonight. What an absolutely deflating evening supporting Peterborough United. What a horrible, horrible night to have a Sky Sports subscription. Or if you went to the game, you were just all let down. And I just respect to every single person who was there, and safe journey back. I'm sure it will be a blooming long one. With that, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
We're 3 games in and it's already like a funeral. What is going to happen after 20?
Yeah, the vibes are low.